I will give you a definition of a mystical experience. It is one in which you come into union and communion with the divine as a result of the experience that you're having. So it is a full body experience. And once you have had such an experience, for me, I then had the voice within. And the voice within is the voice of the divine, which speaks to me rather unceasingly. And as a result of that outpouring and inpouring of energy that occurred when I was very young, my entire life has been guided in the most extraordinary way to the place where I am today, which is sitting in this room. And in December of last year, not this year, but last year, the divine said to me, find a space, open the doors, and anybody who wants to come can come. And I said, I can do that. So a friend of mine had been renting this space, and I said, wow, you know, I think I better just hop on over to the library and see if I can get a little part of this place to rent. And they said, well, the only night's Monday night. And I said, oh, fine. And I said, I want it from September to May. And here's a little sign that we made so everybody can read the sign. The 20th is the last of our gatherings. So, well, everybody will know, and we'll keep putting this out as people come in. So as a result of that experience and the continuation of those experiences, I have been asked from time to time by the divine to just speak, which I'm very happy to do. And one of the things that had come to me as a result of being with a very dear friend of mine who was passing over, one of her friends brought this to the hospital, and this was about 3 years ago now, and we would read these poems every time we came in to visit our friend until she passed. And then I got the book, and I recommend it to anyone who would like to read about mystics over the ages, men and women, and the extraordinary writings. Very simple, very beautiful, but the depth of them is quite remarkable. And I honor that often in the history of the evolution of mysticism, the mystics had to go into cloistered places to be safe. So they would go into a religious cloister, or they would find a patron or someone who would protect them, because the energies did not align necessarily with what was happening in the times in which they lived. And we're talking over the centuries here. And for those of us who are mystics in this time, we are very blessed that we can speak our truth and nothing bad's going to happen. When I was about 20, I went and had a psychic reading, and the woman said to me, you and Jesus were together, and you have been tortured so many times that you have re-embodied trying to speak these truths. And she said, in this embodiment, you will not be tortured, and it is very important that you speak. And she said, your body holds some of those energies of torture that have kept you in a place of, can I share this with anybody who walks in the room? And then I said to the divine, would you please choose the people who are going to come so that we could all have a really good time together and no one is going to be going, I think I better take notes here. So I want to honor the blissful state that happens when, for myself personally, wherever I go and wherever I speak, I know that the people are going to come who are supposed to come. And it doesn't make any difference what the number is, just that those are the folks. So I want to honor everybody here this evening. Thank you for being the folks who are here tonight. And when I was first beginning to speak, I would speak in an empty room, and I had a tape recorder, voice activated, and I was told, just open your mouth and start speaking. So I would sit in this empty room, and I would speak into this tape recorder. And then when I got finished speaking, the divine would say, we'll do this again tomorrow. And so for a year, every day, I sat in this room with a tape recorder and spoke. And, of course, all of that was preparation. Do I remember anything that was said? no, because I'd erase it every time and then start over again. So I want to just let you know that for many mystics, they could not honor their humanity unless they were in a protected place, so that their humanity and their divinity could come together. And my consciousness and the reason that I embodied at this time, and I asked to be a woman, that's one of my soul agreements that I made prior to coming into the body, that I would have my humanity and I would have my divinity. And as a result, my life has been filled with so many extraordinary moments. And my dear beloved husband is out doing what he loves to do, which is listening to something about farming and the earth, because that's what he loves. So I want to acknowledge the blessing that it is to have a relationship and also to be able to do not only the earth plane energy work, but also in spiritual consciousness. So I would like to read two poems tonight, and each of them I have read before, but the focus this evening is life and death, the great polarities. And this is Rabia, for those of you who don't know her. She's 717 to 801, and she is an extraordinary writer. And she was sold into slavery. Her parents died, and back in those times, if you didn't have someone to take care of you, then that's what happened. And she was very beautiful, and was probably, and this is what the historians believe, that she was bought into a very famous brothel for a very large sum of money, and she was forced to work there for many years. And she has said, "What a place for trials and transformation did my lover," meaning the divine, "put me. But never once did he," meaning the divine, "look upon me as if I were impure. Dear sisters, all we do in this world, whatever happens, is bringing us closer to God." Then when she was about 50, someone bought her freedom for her, and for the remaining years, she was devoted to meditation and prayer and often was sought after for guidance in people's lives. Ironic, but one of the most intimate acts of our body is death. So beautiful appeared my death, knowing who then I would kiss. I died 1,000 times before I died. "Die before you die," said the Prophet Muhammad. "Have wings that feared ever touched the sun?" I was born when all I once feared I could love. The next is Saint Teresa. She had a very different kind of life. 1515 to 1582. She was of parents who were wealthy, and she sought education, and she was educated. And when she was 21, she ran away from home to join a convent. And after many years in the convent, she had a near-death experience that changed her life. A spiritual awakening began in which she cultivated a system of meditation that sought quieting the mind to such an extent that God could be heard speaking. She went through many trials and tribulations, but her writings are very beautiful. "We bloomed in spring. Our bodies are the leaves of God. The apparent seasons of life and death our eyes can suffer, but our souls, dear, I will just say this forthright, they are God. We will never perish unless God does." We've come to the earth plane to learn through polarities. And one of the greatest polarities is life and death. And if we fear death, then it means that we are withholding love from ourselves, because death is an extraordinary experience, and so is life. I like to look at it this way. The divine gives us the opportunity to practice life and death every day. Now, let us take a look at that. You know how much I love my bed. I've talked about it several times. Okay. I get into my bed, and there's that moment when you're losing consciousness and you're going into sleep. And you see, as we fall asleep, it's like a little death. And then we sleep and perhaps we dream. And then, upon awakening and our eyes open, we're having a little birth. We're coming into life. And so every night we have the little death, and then we have the life, and the little death, and the life. And the beauty is that when you go into that sleep, which is like a little death, then often we dream. And when we awaken, and the dream, when we were having it, seemed so real, did it not? And we go, oh, this and this is happening, you know, in the dream. But then when we awaken and we come into life, we look back and we say, oh, it was just a dream. Is everybody getting this? What we're living right this minute is a dream. Yes? Everybody nod your heads up and down. If you don't believe it, it's fine, but just pretend. Good, okay. Because that way I know you're still in the room. You haven't flown away somewhere. Okay, so we go into this place of releasing consciousness into deep sleep. And it is said that while we're here upon the earth plane, we have to constantly remind ourselves that this is a dream. This is a dream. It is illusion. It is Maya. All right? It's just a dream. Now, it seems so real. For goodness sakes, you know, didn't you love what you had to eat today? And didn't you love the wind? And didn't you love the sky and the sun and the energies? Of course. It seems so real. You say, this can't be a dream. Ah, darlings. But it is. And we get to experience that lovely death, that dream that we dream while we're in that place, and then we awaken and we say, oh, it was just a dream. I've had the wonderful experience of dying and being on the other side and coming back. And when that experience happened for me and through me, I realized the truth of the dream. Now, that doesn't mean you all have to have near-death experiences. You can simply notice in your waking and sleeping how you wish to release into the time of sleep and how you wish to awaken in the time of the next day. How you wish to embrace that which you dreamt in the night. And then perhaps you could look at your life and say, it is very dreamlike, is it not? And particularly, if we're open to how the divine continually brings to us the very things at the very moment that it is appropriate for us to experience it, to feel it, to acknowledge it. The divine order, I say, of all things. There is nothing, I believe, upon the earth plane that is not in divine order. Now, remember that the ego conscious mind, if it doesn't get what it wants when it wants it, it says, I don't think I like this. I don't think I like it at all. And we can look out there at the things that appear to be less than love, war, the great mayhems of life that are going on simultaneously all over the world. And we can look at that and say, that's bad and that's wrong. But actually, it wouldn't be upon the earth plane unless it were here in divine order. And perhaps it is there so that you and I may hold it in our hearts. And it has been said that if a group of people were to sit together and hold the love, I mean hold the love, we could change whatever we focused on. They've certainly done it in meditation, have they not? In many cities where they have gathered meditators and they've meditated, the crime rate has gone down, the energy of aliveness has gone up in that particular city, particularly Washington, D.C., which really has a big crime rate. And there are points of energy around the world that are actually calibrating what is the significant level of energy that's going on around the world? And as we follow how energy is moving around the world, we can do that too. You all time travel, do you not? I hope so, and if you don't, you ought to experiment with it. Now, how shall we time travel? When you're having a good time, how does time pass? Fast. When you're having to wait in the doctor's office and it takes forever to get in there, time is very slow. But the same amount of time is passing in the good times and the bad times. But our perception of how time moves and has its way with us is very different. If someone had said to me, when you're 70 years old, it's going to look like this, I would have gone, I'm going to be a crotchety old lady by that time. Well, here I am, I'm 70 years old, and I don't feel like a crotchety old lady at all. Now, the perception of the time-space continuum is one of the great illusions. And my experience has been, and some of you know this, that it changed for me when I experienced that I was not going into the time-space continuum, but it was coming unto me. I was here, and it was coming unto me, so that even as it appears that I am moving forward in time and space, it is actually coming unto me. It's just the reverse of what we truly think is going on here, far out. Now, you don't have to accept anything I say, okay? I'm just here partly to do the energy work, all right? While you're sitting here, you're being downloaded. And the reason that I'm speaking to you is so that the left side of your brain is occupied by what I'm saying, which is your ego-conscious mind. That means that the right side of your brain, which is where your soul resides and communicates with you, and the divine is pouring energy in while I'm speaking to you. So I could just go blah, 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 or I could read the phone book, you know? But neither of those would be very interesting. So I will continue. Here it comes. The time-space continuum is coming toward us, and we are moving into it. The other experience I had was this. I walk every day, and I am walking on a street in front of my sister's house, and this was in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's a lovely morning, and I was moving my arms, and as I moved my arms, suddenly it went, and I went, and then the other arm went, and it was there and gone, and there and gone, and there and gone, and I went, this is so far out, and I don't smoke, drink and take drugs, okay? Never have, never will. Okay, so here I am, and I am form, formless, form, formless, form, formless. And I went, oh, I see. Actually, darlings, as we are sitting here, we are in formlessness, and we're going form, formless, form, formless, form, formless. And it is so quick to our eye that it appears that we're all solid in this room. But actually, we're not. Now, isn't that fun? I mean, you know, and you could ask, you could say, well, before this embodiment is over, I'd like to experience what that is. Or you can say, not this time, thank you. I like this form, I think I'll stay with it. So having had some of these experiences and realizing that we are continually going from form to formlessness, continually, and we're not even aware of it, okay? Now, when we have mystical experiences or deep experiences of any kind that change the way we perceive how we are and who we are, and many of us have had those aha moments just within ourselves, have we not, where we've had a thought or a feeling or a state of consciousness, and we've said, that changes everything. I am not who I was anymore. I am now something, someone else. I am now an energy field that is very different than the moment before, because I have realized through this physical body a level of realization. Now, there are two ways that I believe many people go to the divine. The most, shall we say, the route of greatest travel is to go through extended realms of consciousness, and if so, and perhaps come into samadhi in that place of at-one-ment. And as my career was as a dancer and choreographer, I said to the divine, could I go in my body instead, since this is the vehicle of my expression? And the divine said, where do you think I am in your body? And I said, I believe you're in every cell of my body. And the divine said, that is true. So if you choose, you may go into a single cell, and there I will be, for I await you in every cell of your body. And remember that the number of cells in your body is equivalent to all the stars in our galaxy, which is beyond count. And they try to count them, you know, and they get to the millions and then the billions, and they say, oh, well. So, also acknowledge that every cell has its own consciousness. Every cell of our body has its own consciousness. And not only that, but every organ in our body has its own consciousness. That's why the liver doesn't worry about being the heart. And the heart doesn't say, well, I'd like to be the toenail on the big toe. No. They all say, the consciousness is what I am. And the harmony, the balance, the incredible consciousness that keeps us from flying apart is quite amazing to me, considering that we're constantly going what? Form, formless, form, formless. So, if you perceive yourself as this extraordinary energy, then what is the next step? To deeply love that which you are in physical form. Now, many people do not love who they are in physical form. They say, you know, I wish I were, up, 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 up. But let us remember the soul agreements that you made prior to coming into the body. The body you have is the body you said, I want to work with this time. This is the body that will allow me to grow in my consciousness in ways that I would not if I did not have this particular body. Now, having said that, from a mystical consciousness point of view, this body is a sacred vessel, and within it resides the divine, which means that every moment, every breath, every heartbeat, every blink of our eye, every part of who we are is expressing the divine. Every breath, every heartbeat. And we have the opportunity to be a loving expression of that divinity through this body if we choose. Now, what does that mean? That means that we regard this body as holy. We do not see this body as less than. We see this body as filled with the potential for one great thing. Anybody tell me what that one great thing is?
To love.
To love. L-O-V-E. The potential to love. Now, if we don't love this, how are we going to love everyone else in their extraordinary form that they have chosen out of all the forms that they could have? Each of us chose these forms. We said, this is what we're going to look like this time. This isn't by accident, darling hearts. This is because we said, this is the body that's going to give us the greatest opportunity to expand our consciousness, if we choose. Or we could say, it's just XX baggage, and I'm just going to let it trail behind me in this embodiment. There are a lot of people that just do that. They just, you know, push and pull and shove their bodies along in the world. But if you truly know the magnificence of this body and that it is a sacred, sacred act, that we come into embodiment and that we come into a form that we have chosen impeccably, not only to hold that which is the sacred, but that we may go through the world and bring love through what this looks like. Now, this is a very extraordinary soul agreement that we have, that we would do this. And, you know, you don't have to do it if you don't want to. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, you could just say, I don't think I want to do that this time. No problem. Mm-mm. You'll just have whatever life you have. And then you go to sleep. Go into the formless. You'll see the dream that it was. You'll say, oh, I think I missed the boat. And what is the boat that you missed? that this is the embodiment where you're going to have a chance to do it if you want to do it. So let's say you miss the boat and you're on the other side and you're talking to all the folks around there and they're saying, so what are you going to do? Think you're going to come back in again? Well, yeah, I guess I better, you know, I kind of missed the boat that time. So let's see. This time it's going to be la-di-da-di-da-di-da or whatever the choices are. And you'll re-embody. Now, who are you going to re-embody with? You're going to re-embody into the family that's going to give you the greatest opportunity to grow, even if that's not how you want to grow. Right? Right. Now, in the family and in the family entity, which is the much larger aspect of the family with all of its contingencies and, you know, aunts and uncles and cousins and so on and so forth, we all change positions as we embody. So if you come in and you've been a brother or a sister, and let's say as a daughter, you may have a lot of conflict with your mother. The reason that you have conflict with your mother is because the two of you have been at it for a long time. Not just this embodiment, but a long time. And you've probably been changing roles with each other, all right? To see if one of us could wake up enough to get what's really going on, and then what happens? It can change to love. That's what happens when you get it. So, you're looking at all these wonderful configurations of energy, and every time we embody, it is about love, and if we have enough love for self and enough love for the other, what will happen?
Things will change.
Things will change. And what is change? Change is an aspect of love moving from the present vibration to a higher vibration in an upward spiraling pattern, thusly. Now, why can't we just go in a straight line? Because it takes the ego this long to get what the change is. So when the change occurs, it will be all the way through all of our bodies, planes, and cells. So we are allowing and loving change. Now, I love change. Raise your hand if you love change. Okie dokie. Now, if you're sitting like this and you're saying, no, do not like change, that's perfectly okay. Guess what? If you don't like change, you have a soul agreement that says, I don't like change this time. I'm going to try in this embodiment to see what it would be like if I said, ixnay with the change, not going to go there. Okay? I'm just going to go junta. I know what that next step is. I take it. But if the unknown step comes, you may say, that might call for change. I don't know if I really want to do that. And that's perfectly all right. It means that what you've chosen to learn in this embodiment is what the embodiment, how the embodiment will unfold if you don't choose change. Now, for those of us who love change, people have said to me, Mary, I have an address book, and the whole thing, from A to Z, is every place you've lived. Just one little address book. You gotta be kidding me. Now, of course, my life and my career took me all over everywhere. And in that movement of change, the divine said to me, it will be many years before you ever have a home on the earth plane. You'll have a closet somewhere, anywhere. And in that closet will be where you are, in that closet, just doing your thing, okay? Little tiny space. And I said, but I want to have a home. And the divine said, a very good question to ask. Where is your home? And the divine said this, until the time has come, what you will do is find your home in the heart of the other. That will be your home. So every person you meet, whether you meet them for a moment or a lifetime, that will be your home within the heart of every single person that comes into your life and you come into their life. And I was so grateful to hear that because I have been, like many dancers, a life of a gypsy, traveling all over everywhere and realizing that in me, I then became the home for everyone else who came unto me, as I could be in their home. When I finally had a home, it was a little house in Summerlin, which some of you came to when I was there speaking, and I hardly knew what to do with myself because I'd never had that experience, that this is your home. And I realized how marvelous it was that in this little house, something else could happen. And the coming and going of people was just so that there could be more heart connection. That's what it was really about. So I honor that in allowing change to occur and embracing change, then something else opens inside of us. Because with each change, we're raising our vibration, we're expanding our consciousness, and we are allowing change to be one of our teachers. Change is a great teacher, and there are many great teachers on the earth plane, and change is certainly one of them. And often, when we move toward change, it will become more than we could ever imagine. If we resist change, then it can go into contraction, and we can say, that's why I don't like change. It is how we come into change that makes the change whatever it's going to be. Do you see that? It is not that out there that determines this in here. It's this in here that determines what is out there. And what is out there for me? I want to be joyful. I'm a very joyful person. And if it's not joyful, I go, I'm not supposed to go there. Now, it doesn't have to look joyful from the outside, but I know that whatever it is that I am moving toward and it is coming unto me, there will be that joy. And what is joy? Joy is the feeling aspect of love. So if you are feeling joy, then love is present. And if you are not feeling joy, then you need to ask, what is present here? What are the feelings that are present here that are not love? Because if it is love, there will be joy. My mom, who had Alzheimer's, I would go and spend time with her. And we would greet at the door, and the nurse would have said, your daughter is coming. And I would greet her, and she'd look at me, and the nurse would say, this is Mary. And she'd go, oh, Mary, it's so wonderful to see you. And we would embrace, and, you know, it would be, you know, whatever it would be, conversation and so on. And even though I was aware that toward the end of her life she didn't recognize me, it didn't mean that the love wasn't there. It was there because I came unto her with love. And then however she could express that love, because I let go of what it had to look like, I didn't say, if it doesn't look like this, I'm going to be unhappy. I said, just the fact that I can hold her and look upon her and rub her feet and whatever else she wanted to do, that was our level of communication. The same thing with my father. My father got Alzheimer's. He didn't know any of us. And I would go and be with him. And we would sit, and his favorite thing was Murder, She Wrote. You all know that? Yeah. So I'd hold his hand, and we'd watch Murder, She Wrote. And then the nurse, because both of them had to have nursing help, I'd say, Dad, would you like me to rub your feet? And he'd say, yes. And so, and he's a big man. And so I'd just be rubbing his feet. And we just had the most lovely time. And we wouldn't talk very much, you know. And he had wonderful memories of his childhood. And he could recite poetry that he had learned from grammar school to high school through college. And he would start reciting these poems. And I'm rubbing his feet. And he didn't have a clue as to who I was. And it didn't make any difference at all. Because I was loving on him. And he was expressing who he was at that very moment. My siblings would say, we just have such a hard time communicating with Dad. I said, well, what's the problem? And they said, we don't have anything to talk about because he's, you know, in La La Land. I said, well, then you got to go to La La Land, don't you? That's where you got to go. You can't ask him to be something he is not anymore. You have to be where he is and hold him there and love him there. Because he was teaching me. He was my teacher about how to be present. when that I knew was not there, but what was there was also teaching me. Yes? I believe everyone is my teacher. There is no one who is not teaching me something, and I have to be awake every moment to get what the teaching is, because sometimes it is so subtle that it'll just fly right by. So if I recognize that in both of my parents, that what they were teaching me was sublime, and to be able to love them right where they are was incredible for me. And I realized the struggle that my siblings were having, particularly my brother. He was the elder, and he wanted to have these conversations with my dad the way they used to be. And I'd say, that's not going to be possible anymore. Alzheimer's is a great teacher. Senile dementia is a great teacher. And it will teach all of us exactly what we need to learn if we're willing to just be present with whoever it is in our family or our friends who have that. So with all the experiences in my life, I have seen how the love comes if I can show up and be lovingly present no matter what it looks like out there or inside myself. And sometimes I've had trepidation within myself when I've been asked to go into a situation, as with the first time when someone was dying. I had trepidation. I said, I do not know if I know how to do this. And the Divine said, just show up and be lovingly present, no matter what it looks like, out there or inside yourself. And I could go and be lovingly present with an individual who was in great agony and pain, and be able to just hold the energy, hold it, and be with them through all of the whole experience that they had. And finally, pardon me, I called, the doctor who was in charge, and I said, I think you need to come, and we need to put her on a morphine drip, because it's too hard now, and everyone is in agony around her. And he came and he said, you're absolutely right, that's what we need to do. And that, pardon me, changed the energy. And you see, I'm transmitting this energy for all of us in the group, thank you. That this energy of being able to be present with whatever is going on is sublime. And yet, I tell you, you have to start practicing, and the sooner the better. Because we're all being asked to show up in ways that we have never, ever dreamt we would ever have to show up. Truly, truly, I say this. Now, one of the things that I talk about is building your spiritual muscle. And you have to build that muscle and make it strong and make it very clear, so that when you are with individuals that will be asking something of you that you may not ever have expected that you would ever have to do or be present with, if you have built that muscle, you will have the strength to do it, no matter what it is. When catastrophes happen, like the Twin Towers, or the wars that are going on all over the world at this point, all the energies that seem to be so tumultuous and have no reason other than what the politicians of the world say the reasons are for why we're doing the war and why this is happening and why that is happening. And when you see the great cry of humanity that this be different, we're the only ones, if we choose, that can hold the love that will be sufficient to make that change. Every single person who says, I will embrace this, and I will recognize that I bring my love to this. I do not withhold my love just because it looks like something that I don't believe I can love. Remember, this is all illusion here. It's very hard to recognize it as the illusion because it seems so very real. It seems so very real. And yet, we can hold both, can we not? Because we're here to learn through polarity. We can hold this, which looks like war and extraordinary, extraordinary pain and suffering. And we can also hold the opposite, which is the nature of our love and our compassion. Remember, compassion is our empathetic response, the empathy that we have for that which is occurring over here. I do not ask, why is this happening? I don't ask, what will happen? I do not ask, will it ever end? Those are not the questions. There's only one answer. That's love. The questions are meaningless. Meaningless. If the war is here, it will unfold the way it's going to unfold. And I can love all of it. But it means that the expansion of my heart must be very profound. I cannot do it if my heart is this size. I can only do it if I expand the consciousness within my heart to be able to embrace everything, everything. And as these souls are leaving from war or torture or whatever it is that they have gone through, when they die in this form and their soul moves to the formless, it is there that we can also do the work. We can do the work in both form and formlessness. Our love is not just here in this place of form. It is also in the formless. Now, why do we meditate? Why do we meditate? Anybody?
Have God. Experience God.
Experience God? What else?
To hear the still, quiet voice over the hubbub.
Hubbub, all right. What else? Being in the formless. Thank you. What else?
To relax.
To relax, definitely. We're in a world that has a lot of tension. What else?
To connect.
To connect. With what?
With everything.
With everything. To be one with all that is. All right, why else?
To just be present. To just be present.
To just be present. Most of us are not present. Where are we? The ego says it's either the past or the future. It does not want to be here. The thing that brings us back to here is our soul. Our soul brings us back to the present because it only knows the present. What else?
To experience the truth of our being.
Experience the truth of your being. Now, what is the truth of your being? Love. Who said that? Raise your hand. Love, all right. Let's get physical here. Okay, love. I mean, you know, the first time anybody talked to me about love, I said, get out of here. You know? I said, no, that can't be it. There's got to be something else. And I'm terribly sorry. I have to tell you, that's the bottom line. Love. When I sit in the silence, when I do my prayers, when I do whatever it is that I do, it's just because of love. If I didn't love it, I could not do it. Because it's this. It is that complete knowing that you are building energetically a consciousness that will enfold and hold everything. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story. I've told some of you before, but it's such a great story because it really tells the truth. I was working with a Qigong master, and he said, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to tell you two of them. The first is, every time you do your Qigong practice, now let us say your meditation practice, your prayer practice, or your Qigong practice, you lay down one thin sheet of rice paper, and the next time, another thin sheet of rice paper. And if you do your practice and lay down one thin sheet of rice paper, at the end of your life, you will stand upon the mountain of your own creation. And with each laying down of that sheet of rice paper, you will raise your vibration. You know what rice paper is? Unchika.
Unchika.
Okay, unchika. Little bitty unchika right here. All right? Now, you just build it, and build it, and build it, and build it. And then you stand upon it. And as each practice is done, your vibration is raised. Now, is that important? Only if you know that every time you raise your vibration, the amount of love that you have has increased exponentially to that point, which means you're already going into the forever every time you practice. Right? Right? You're here in the body, and you're in the forever, in the formless, all the time. That's one. Number two, great Qigong master is on his deathbed. And all the students have gathered around, and they're waiting for his last final great words that he will speak. And they listen carefully, and his breathing gets softer and softer, and they say, oh, we can't miss these final words, because they will be the great words, these final words. And he gently opens his mouth, and this is what he says. Practice. And then he dies. Mm-hmm. Okay, folks. If you're not practicing now, I would invite you to begin. Because why not begin? And if you're already doing it, then, as I do often, I just enjoy laying down one thin sheet of rice paper as I do my practice. I honor that the reason that we embody is so that we remember who we really are. You know, we are these spiritual beings having a human experience. And the human experience is that which allows what? The greater realization of who we are in the formless. It works both ways. And one of the things that I love about being in the formless is that I just get to chat around, you know? Talk to all these folks. Have a really good time. It's wonderful. And you may have a totally different experience. Everyone will experience the formless the way they have a soul agreement to experience the formless. And whatever your soul agreement is to be in the physical, that's how you're going to experience the physical. I remember, and I've shared with you, when I finally relinquished my anger and how the divine came to me three times. And each time I said, no, I need my anger. I need it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because just in case something comes up, I need my anger. I want my anger. And the divine said, fine. Three times. I was not an apt student at that point. And then the divine came again and said, are you ready? And several years had gone by. I said, I'm ready. Take it from me. I have no need of it anymore. Now, this is what happens when we allow that which is less than love within ourselves to be released. And I mean, you let it go. And as the divine has said to me three times, you'll have the opportunity to see if you really have gotten rid of your anger. And I went, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, okay. I got to keep the eye peeled. I have got to be on ready because I don't want to be angry, but I know it's going to be a big one, right? The first one's just going to go, it's going to go right in my face, and I'm not going to be able to be angry. Oh! Do y'all ever have that feeling? Am I the only one in the room? I hope not. Okay, so the first one comes. It's a big humdinger, okay. And I could feel it. You know how you feel how the... how anger can rise? Anybody know that feeling? Okay. You can nod your heads if you want to. Okay, here it is. The energy is rising. And I really knew how to verbalize that anger, and I could just go... and I said, I will not do that. And I was challenged by this individual. And just like, you know, the knife thrower, I wonder if I'll get her to do it... this time. And I was able to withhold my anger. And the interesting thing was, and the lesson I learned was this. When you have anger, you must have something that will get the anger and let you feel the dynamic of that anger. And what I experienced was this. Here was the anger. Here was Mary. And as soon as I released the anger, it disappeared. There wasn't this anymore. It was still going on, but it was not in my energy field any longer. So I did not have to hit it with my anger. The second time was much easier, and the third time, I said to the divine, thank you, this is a piece of cake. I can do this now. I watch other people who have great anger, and I have great compassion for them. Great compassion. And I honor them and bless them. And it is my prayer that perhaps they will relinquish their anger in this embodiment. But if they do not, they have a soul agreement that said, I'm going to be angry in this embodiment. That's what they said. And they will have it all the way through the embodiment. And that's all right. It is not for us to say, why is that person angry? Their anger is something that they have asked to have for whatever reason, and we do not have to know the reasons. But with my experience, I have great compassion when I see that anger. I have great compassion because I never experienced compassion around my anger because there wasn't anyone who had any compassion for it. They were as angry as I was, which was wonderful because then we could all be angry together, for heaven's sakes. Do you see where I'm going with this? All right. So, if you look at what you want to release, if there's something within you and you say, you know, I think I'm ready to let that go. And it could be doubt, anxiety, fear, jealousy, feeling less than, or even feeling more than. It could be anything. And you could say, I don't believe I really want to need that anymore. I believe I'm ready to let that go. Then the first thing you have to do is name it. Know that it is true for you that you want to release it. And then you just put it in your heart. And you ask the divine what you are to give you whatever you need so that you may release it. And it will be so. And it will be over time and space, since this is the continuum we're in here. And it will be released. It seems very simple. But if you're doing your work in the meantime, you're doing your prayer, meditation, or contemplation, you're doing what you need to do to build that spiritual muscle, when that energy is drawn into your heart, within your heart is that divine consciousness. And it will assist you unfailingly in being able to release whatever it is you want to release. And usually, my experience is that when, say, my anger was here, it was really, I would have, in all my bodies, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual, I would have a tremor of that anger in all four of my bodies when I was angry. It wasn't just located in the angry words. I could feel it, my adrenals, my heart pumping. Sometimes I would sweat because I would have so much energy going on. So my whole body was involved. My emotional body, I could feel the turmoil, and sometimes it would even be clenched with the anger and the need to get it out. I could have a headache. I could have my spiritual body, which is very quiet, but remember, the ego is present in all four of your lower bodies. And the ego could be saying, it's perfectly all right for you to do this, darling. Whispering in my ear. The truth is that once you have cleansed whatever it is you want to release, when you've really let it go, and you've had the three opportunities to see that you really have let it go, then what will infill that place that has now been cleansed and cleared and is quote-unquote empty? Love. So you bring love into that place which has been cleared. And you bring it in consciously. Now, you can choose a color, if you like, of love. It can be rose or pink or white or gold or purple or whatever color resonates with you. If that's the color that love is for you, you can actually, if you have that vision, if you have visualization, you can envision that love coming in to every aspect of your body that held whatever it was that you wanted to release. And then once you have that infilling at what in whatever color you wish to have, then imagine that you're breathing that color in and you're breathing it out. And you're breathing it in and you're breathing it out. And you can do it more than three times, but at least three times. Breathing the color in and breathing the color out. And in so doing, this is the breath of the divine, darlings. When we're on the earth plane, we're actually breathing the breath of the divine. Most people just think it's inhalation, exhalation. But once you awaken to who you really are, you understand that the breath of the divine is coming in and the breath of the divine is going out. The breath of the divine coming in is to infill you so that when you exhale and breathe the divine out, the divine which you are, the love which you are, is going forth. Every breath, every breath. The same is true of your heartbeat. Your heart beats. Love them, love them, love them, love them. Now why in the world does it do that? It does that because the divine said, this is what hearts are going to do. Hearts are going to do that. And so we have love them, love them, love them. This is the heart of God right here, right there. Right there, 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 right there. Heart of God right here. You don't have to go anywhere to get it. It's right here. And what is this body? This is the divine made manifest in physical form. The divine made manifest in physical form. I do not just walk around in this body and say this is just a body. I walk around in this body and I say the divine within me is in this body. That's what's happening, folks. And if you think the divine is out there somewhere and that's your belief, go for it. I said, I want to know the divine intimately. I want to know it so much that it is beyond this exterior world. I want to know it within. And then I want to express it, however that is to be. In whatever way I am to express it. Sometimes it is in silence or prayer or meditation. Sometimes it is spoken word. Why do you think I want to embrace y'all when you come in the room? I love to hug, but why in the world would I do that? Some of you are complete strangers to me, but I know every single one of you really well. Because we're all in this together. Why would I want to hug you? Anybody, tell me, why?
Exchange love, energy.
Mm-hmm. And because I get to hold who in my arms? The divine! I can't believe it! Okay, so, you get to hold the divine in your arms every time you hug another person. Far out, far in. I mean, you get to have this extraordinary, and they don't have to know. I mean, it's fun if they know, because then you say, oh, the divine meeting the divine, let's have a hug, great. But most of the time, no. That's why I love meetings where I can say to people, you're divine. And then we can hug, and wouldn't that be fun? I mean, why not, folks? We're only here for a little bit of time, darlings, in the great span of all that is. This is just a nanosecond of what's really going on. So I don't want to miss one moment, not in my gentle death when I sleep in the bed that I love and the dream that I have and the moment when I wake up and I am born in that moment into the life and I look back and I say, oh, so it was just a dream. And when you leave this earth plane, you may or may not remember anything I said tonight, not a problem. You go over on the other side and you'll look back and you'll say, it was all a dream, wasn't it? It was all a dream. I thought it was so real. But while you're here, if you realize it's the dream, then something else can happen, which is extraordinary, which means that you have expanded your consciousness to hold the fact that it is just a dream. And let it be as real for you as you need it to be. I want it to be real. I want this whole energy field to be real, real, real. Because I don't want to miss one second of the experience of the divine manifest through me in this embodiment. And the divine is manifest in every single person on the planet. Every single person, no matter who they are, what country they're from, what their religion is, whether they're fighting or not fighting or whatever it looks like, it is there. People have said to me, what about these criminals who do these horrific things? They can't possibly have a soul. They can't possibly be divine. The divine told me this, that when a soul makes an agreement to come and hold that position of criminal or whatever it happens to be, that appears to be less than love. That's what they've chosen to do. And it is not for us to say they cannot have that choice. That's what they've chosen. And it is for us to thank them, because if they weren't doing it, guess who might be doing it? Every single one of us in this room. We might be doing it. We might say, okay, this is our turn to go and be that. But we are here being this. So do we have the state of consciousness to honor what we are, and with our compassion and love, recognize all the costumes on this great stage called the Earth Plane that everyone has chosen to be? Because it's just a costume, darling. And they are acting out a script that is very ancient and has been read and acted out over and over and over again. So we can have compassion for what they have chosen, and we can see what it is that they have chosen. And it is not for us to say, that can't possibly be something I've ever done. If you recognize what it is that has been done, believe me, you have had an embodiment in that very same thing. That's how we recognize everything that's happening on the earth plane. Because we've all been everything. We've all been everything. There isn't anything we haven't been. But look what we chose this time. Far up, far in. We have chosen to be in a land where we can just come in a room and sit down and talk about anything we want to, and no police, no wiring, no nothing. We're not going to be put in a cell at the end of this meeting. We are not going to have, you know, I'm not going to be burned at the stake. Nothing bad's going to happen. I'm going to go home and feed the dog or pet her or whatever. My husband's going to come back from doing his wonderful thing with Mother Earth and the farming, and we're all going to sit down and have a lovely evening together. My goodness. So let us open our hearts to hold everything. Exclude nothing. And remember, in some way, if we know, if we recognize it, we've been there. We've been there. And in this embodiment, we said, can we just live in paradise? I think it's called Santa Barbara. Oh, good, 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 good. So go find it. We'll go find it. And then we're all going to sit together. And we're going to have the Great Mother in the water of the ocean. And we're going to have the Great Father in the mountains over here. And we're going to have leaves and trees and birds. And we're just going to be in this paradise. But we're not going to forget why we're here, because it's very seductive. We'll be seduced this much. Just enough. I love to be seduced. Just be seduced this much. And then the rest of the time, we're just going to, you know, pay attention. Wake up. Be alive and be fully present.